Amen. As you are standing, please take your Bibles and turn them to Matthew chapter 5. We're picking back up where we left off last week, Matthew 5 and verse number 9. And we're still talking about being peacemakers or being peaceable. And today we're talking about being peaceable with the unreachable. Say, preacher, is there any such people as unreachable? Yes. There are people that are unreachable. The thing is, you don't know who they are. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 9. Everybody there say amen. Amen. I hope we have been able to make use of these things as we have been going along here teaching and preaching the Word of God. We had talked about the inworking of peace, how we need to have peace in and of ourselves, first of all, to be peacemakers. And then we saw the outworking of peace and how people can see great peace and perfect peace in our lives. And now we're looking at the outreaching of peace. Last week we saw peace with the unpeaceable. You can be at peace with unpeaceable people, amen, and attempt to reach them. And today we're going to look at being peaceable with the unreachable. Peaceable with the unreachable. Everybody at Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 9 say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And what we want to do is make sure that we're lights. So the Bible says, read with me together, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Jesus Christ gives a bunch of beatitudes, or their attitudes that believers or people that are born again ought to have in their life. And we've been talking about each one of these distinctively and talking about how you and I need to have this light in our homes, in our communities, and in our jobs, and let people see this type of light. The light that we're talking about now is the peacemaker's light, being able to bring two parties together in agreement, and more importantly, bringing people that are not saved to God, that they can be saved. Read with me down in verse 14. He says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Amen. And that's what we want to do, is have this light imported into our homes, illuminating the house with it, being peacemakers in our houses, and then going out and exporting that to a lost world who needs to see the peacemaking light in God's people. God never charged the world to do that. He charged his people to be the light and for his people to make sure that their light is seen. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see, notice that, your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Father, I pray you would bless the word of God this morning. God, as we continue talking about being peacemakers, and that is reconciling two parties together, namely you with the unsaved party, they might be born again. We have the inworking of peace in us. We've been born again. We have the outreaching as well. Now, we need to go to others, Lord, as they see in us the peace that passes all understanding. Oh, God, I pray for that man, that woman, that boy, or that girl today here that does not know Jesus Christ as Savior. I pray for that one today that thinks that they may be the unreachable. They may think they've sinned too much for God to forgive them. They may think that they're in the depths of sin and depravity, that there's no way that a loving God would reach down and save them. And God, I beg to differ. Jesus Christ died for the richest of sinners to the poorest of sinners, to the vilest sinners to the best of sinners. Lord, you just died for sinners in general. Lord, help us to recognize and realize that if one is willing, they're not unreachable. They just must be willing to humble themselves and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that they might be saved. Lord, the part in that we play is that we don't know who is unreachable and who is reachable. Lord, help us to be unbiased and just give the gospel to every creature that we see, not knowing their condition, not knowing if they will receive or if they will reject. Help us to do our part to make sure that they get saved. And then there, for those that are not saved, Lord, help them to recognize Jesus came to seek and to save them that are lost. And help that man, woman, boy, or girl to call on Jesus today and be saved. Bless what transpires here. Lord, guide my words and my thoughts. May they be arrested to the will of God, that I may say what you would have me to say. And that at the end of the day, Lord, you would be pleased in this service and this message and the things that happen. Holy Spirit, constrain me that I may do the will of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Brother Jeff Wilbur is going to sing for us today. Amen.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Oh, love of God, could we think the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every star on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade to write the love of God above, would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Thank you, Brother Jeff. Appreciate that special message and song. Amen. Yes, Jesus loves me, the love of God. Amen. Nothing like the love of God, and that is something that we all need to hear about. Repeatedly, amen. I don't care who you are and where you've been. You know, if you know that Jesus loves you and that God loves you, amen, you can do anything, amen.
Just knowing the love of God is there, you can't exhaust it. I mean, sometimes people quit on you, people give up on you, but God's love continues to go and go and go. You can balk at it and you can shun it, but his love is still there. It's still there, you know, and it's going to be there until eternity. Amen. And then it still goes on and on. Amen. That's just how infinite the love of God is. And if you've not experienced the love of God today, I encourage you, I invite you, step out by faith and trust God's love for your life. Amen. It is able to do what you don't think it can do, and it can surpass and go beyond anything you could ever imagine that love could not do. It goes beyond it all. Amen. And so I'm always in awe of how God loves me. Yeah, I know my mama loves me. I know my daddy loves me. I know my grandma, my grandpa love me. And, you know, I know my wife loves me, you know, but it's nothing like God loving me. Because everybody else doesn't really know you like God loves you. And God knows the deepest you. You know, the you that nobody else knows. God knows that you. And God still loves you. And he still loves me. As much as I let him down and fail him, he still loves me. Now, I can't figure that out, amen, but I just know it's true. And I can always go back to him. Well, today we're talking about peacemaking with the unreachable, or being peaceable with the unreachable. Now, I know if I were to ask you to name me someone that's unreachable, you'd probably come up with some of the most heinous criminals, some of the most fiendish people. You may come up with some names that have been infamous down throughout history that you said, that person, I guarantee you, is unreachable. I guarantee you Saddam Hussein is unreachable. I guarantee you Adolf Hitler is unreachable. I guarantee you, and you would just go on and list these people that are unreachable. And on some I might agree with you, but it doesn't matter what I agree. What matters is what God agrees with. Are they really unreachable? Because we're talking about being peaceable with the unreachable. In our minds, they may be unreachable. But in God's eyes, in God's mind, they're very reachable. Very reachable. We're going to look at a guy today that Scripture says he was unreachable. He was unreachable. But yet, I want you to see how he was handled, even in his unreachable state. Preacher, are there people unreachable there? Yes, there are. The problem is you don't know who they are. Never stop loving people. Never stop giving the gospel to people. Never stop trying with people. You say, but they don't want me. They have rejected me. They rejected what I had to say. Let them reject it. But don't let it be because you stopped. They may not want to hear it, but guess what? Sooner or later, they will. Preacher, are there people that are unreachable? Sadly, yes. Sadly, yes. The problem is you don't know who they are. We're going to look at a guy this morning. See how Jesus dealt with this individual. And even though he was unreachable, Jesus was still peaceable with the unreachable. We may have these unreachables in our families. They may be friends or they may even be foes. However, it's not over until it's over. And one thing that I would encourage you, don't play God in somebody's life. Don't you be judge and juror as to what they will or will not do with the gospel. Don't let it be because you failed to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you said, you're not fit for heaven. You're destined for hell. You belong in hell. You're hellish. And you ought to go and go to hell right now. Don't you ever have that thought in your mind. Because that very thought somebody could have had about you. Somebody could have had the same thought about you. But they looked beyond your fault and they saw your need. We may have these unreachables. Today we're going to look at an example. The example you know very well. The person you know very well. His name is Judas Iscariot. The Bible says that he was going to do what he was going to do. It was already prophesied that he would do what he said he was going to do. And he did exactly what he was supposed to do. And so when you look at Scripture, He was going to do what he was going to do, but it didn't change how Jesus dealt with him and his peaceableness. I want you to notice three things about Jesus and Judas' example. First of all, when we think about the unreachable, Jesus learned the unreachable. Jesus learned the unreachable. Of course, being God, Jesus didn't have to learn about Judas. However, you and I aren't God. And we need to learn more about why people seem to be unreachable. May I tell you something that you might not know? People are the way they are because of circumstances in their life. They didn't just wake up one morning and, oh, I'm unreachable. No, some events happened maybe in their childhood with them and someone else, maybe with a parent, maybe with a father, maybe with a brother, maybe with some abuse, maybe with something scandalous that happened in their life. And as they went on, they maybe lost faith in a God that could love them and believing in a God that would save them because of the tragedies done to them, the atrocities done to them, the things that happened in their life. And life has molded them and made them. And you and I look at them and say, you're a monster. You're unreachable. That may be so, but life has made them that way. And who are we to judge and not give them the gospel? People don't start off unreachable. You talk to a child is trusting. A child will have that childlike faith that Jesus talks about. They'll do certain things that you and I wouldn't do. You'll say, jump and daddy will catch you. And they'll jump. You say that to an adult, jump, I'll catch you. They'll be like, It's hard to trust a fireman with one of them little trampoline things. Jump and we'll catch you. The building's on fire. How many of them are you? It's 20 of us. Bring 25 and I'll jump. You'll burn. Children aren't that way. They'll jump for no reason at all. Some people, we need to learn about why they're unreachable. Notice what Jesus knew about Judas Iscariot. Go to John chapter 6 for me. John chapter 6. Jesus learned the unreachable. John chapter number 6. And we're going to find out something that Jesus knew about Judas. John chapter 6. Notice verse 70. The Bible says this about Judas Iscariot. Of course, Jesus had been preaching here, and he said, will ye also go away? Verse 68, Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe collectively, and are sure thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, had not I chosen you 12? One of you is a devil. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. What did Jesus know about the unreachable? He knew he was a devil. There was no question, no doubt in Jesus' mind. He said, Peter, you say, where are we going to go? Peter, you say, I have the words of eternal life, and I do. But Peter, I've chosen you 12, and I know that one of you is a devil. Jesus learned the unreachable. He knew him. Fast forward to John chapter 13. And in John chapter 13, notice verse 27. Again, this is at the Last Supper. We'll be having communion tonight. And at this time, verse 26, Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. What am I saying? Jesus knew he was a devil, and Jesus knew what he would do. Jesus knew that Judas was unreachable. He knew all about him. Why? He learned him. He knew him. See, the only way you and I are going to be effective in being peaceable with the unreachable is to learn them. Learn why they are the way they are. Jesus Christ knew that he was a devil. He knew what he was going to do. There was no problem about that. He learned him. He knew that. Being God, he already knew what he would do. But as you can clearly see, verse 28, no man at the table knew for what intent he spake. Verse 29, for some of them thought because Judas had the bag that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Life has made people who they are for a reason, and sometimes we just need to find the reason, if possible. Trying to understand them if we could. The disciples thought that he's just going to do his business. They didn't know him, nor what he was going to do. They didn't know he was a devil. They didn't know Satan had entered him. By the way, you don't know who Satan has entered into. You don't know what Satan's going to do. Sometimes, I'm sure, brother, you can identify. Sometimes you know that Satan is in somebody. Maybe not Satan himself, but demons. And you can see demon possession in people. They behave a certain way that's not normal. People that do mass killings, that's not normal. People that do heinous things, that's not normal. People that commit atrocities towards children, that's not normal. Men that abuse women and beat up on children, that's not normal. That's not normal. And so certain people, you can see, they've got some demon possession in them, and yet and still, they're still reachable. Hey, they're not unreachable until it's over. But we see that Jesus learned the unreachable. He knew what Judas would do, and he knew that he was a devil. Sometimes people are just caught in the snare of Satan. 2 Timothy 2:26. If you have time, you can turn there. If not, I'll read it for you. 2 Timothy 2:26 says this about some people. Now, not all people, but some people in 2 Timothy 2:26, it says this. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Why did he say that? Verse 24, he said, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle in all men, apt to teach, patient and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Let me alarm you by telling you, if today, if you're not born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, you're taken captive by the devil at his will. But I'm my own man. I do what I want to do. You're taken captive by him at his will. Nobody tells me what to do. You're taken captive by him at his will. Nobody can say that. You're taken captive by him at his will. Because he said, I will. I will be like the Most High. I will set my kingdom above the thrones of God. I will. I will. And if you say, I will, my friend, you're taken captive by him at his will. And right now you're in the clutches of Satan. You're taken captive by him at his will. But I've not shunned the gospel. You've not received it. You've not received the love of God that Brother Jeff just sang about, the love of God. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Yes, God loves you. But if you don't reach out to that love, guess what? You're unreachable right now. And you're taken captive. We don't know what happened in Judas Iscariot's life to make him the way he was. But whatever it was, God knew exactly what it was, and that he was going to do what he was going to do. And God used him to do what he was going to do. Now, we don't know what it was that made him that way. Maybe it's money. Because he was a thief, the Bible says. Maybe he grew up poor and he didn't want to be poor. So he's doing everything he could to get some financial security in his life. That made him who he was. I don't know. Maybe it's that he didn't want to see his children on the street. And so he figured, I'd get into religion and be lucrative like some televangelists do. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Well, maybe I want to have some financial security so I'll be the treasurer so I can skim some off the top. I'm glad we got an honest treasurer, man of integrity. Jesus learned the unreachable. Secondly, and this is key, Jesus loved the unreachable. He knew him. He knew he was a devil. He knew what he was going to do. He learned him. He understood that. But he loved him. And he never stopped loving him. Go to John chapter 13. He loved him. If we're ever going to do anything for God, it's going to be marked by love. Because we love God and we love people and we don't want to see them die and go to a place called hell. Yes, they may seem to be unreachable, but with our peaceableness, we need to love them. John chapter 13. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should be depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Notice verse 2, and supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper, laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. You know the rest of the story. He washed their feet. He loved them until the end. Jesus loved Judas until the end, and Jesus didn't love Judas any less than he loved the other disciples. Hey, listen to me. God doesn't love you any more than the vilest sinner. He doesn't love you any less. We don't have the market on God just because we're saved. God doesn't love us any more than the vilest sinner in the street, than the prostitute, than the whoremonger, than the thief, than the rapist. He doesn't love us any more. We get so high-minded that God loves us more. Friend, you're wrong. You're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. He doesn't love you anymore. Doesn't love you any less either. But he don't love you anymore. For God so loved the world, the Bible says. He loves us all the same. It's just some of us are recipients of that love, and we reciprocate that love, and we receive that love, and others don't. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved. That love is going out, friend, and somebody's rejecting it and somebody's receiving it. Don't get so high-minded and think, well, I'm saved. God loves me more. I'm his favorite. No, friend, I'm sorry. You're mistaken. I got the market on God. No, you don't. God's not that small. There's enough of God to go around. Amen. I'm just saying, Jesus learned the unreachable. Jesus loved the unreachable. He loved them until the end, the Bible says. Can we say the same about people? We love them until the end. Say, preacher, but they are unlovely. So were we. Preacher, they're unloving. So were we. But preacher, they're unlovable. So were we. Ask God. Ask God. Still, God loved us. I don't know about you, but I wasn't looking for God. I was looking to do my own thing. Well, preacher, I was looking for God. No, you weren't. Stop that. You were looking to fulfill the desires of your flesh, the desires of your mind. You had no inkling of God until God put it in you to have an inkling for him. Children love God because they hear about God. Go over to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. What am I saying? Jesus learned the unreachable. Jesus loved the unreachable. Matthew 26. And notice in Matthew chapter 26 how Jesus greets Judas, when Judas comes to betray him. Matthew chapter 26, and notice down in verse number 49. Matter of fact, go up to verse 47. While he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he, hold him fast. Forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master. Now, he never called him Lord, by the way. Judas Iscariot never called Jesus Lord. He always called him Master, which just means teacher, instructor. Hail, Master, and kissed him. Notice this. And Jesus said unto him, notice this word, friend. Friend. All through the end, Jesus still called him friend. The man's a devil. The man's possessed of Satan. Jesus looked through the possession and saw the man and said, friend. Now, he's not calling the devil no friend. But he's looking past the devil. He's looking past the possession. And he's looking at Judas and saying, friend. Friend. What am I saying? Jesus loved the unreachable. Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Even though he came to betray him, Jesus was still his friend. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. What does it say in John 13:1? Having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them till the end. He loved them until the end. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You know, let me help you out here. Some people are seemingly unreachable just because they're not loved. They're not loved. They weren't loved as a child. They weren't loved as an adolescent. They weren't loved as a teenager. They weren't loved as a young adult. They weren't loved as a single. They got married thinking they were going to find love. They only found lust. They are not loved in their marriage. They're not loved. They're not loved. They're not loved. And they're looking for love. Oh, show the love of God. Oh, show the love of God. Ye that have received the love of God, show it. Brother Jeff sang the song, the love of God. Jesus learned the unreachable, but he loved them. Hey, love will go a long way, friend. Love will go a long way. It'll go beyond barriers. It'll go beyond color. It'll go beyond religion. It'll go beyond what you believe. It'll go beyond what you think. It'll go beyond everything. Love reaches all. Love covers all. Love believes all. Love forgives all. Paul said, if I have not love or charity, I am nothing. Oh, don't ever think you've got the market on God's love, but give it out. Give out the love of God. Give it to somebody. He loved them until the end. But preacher, he's a devil. Yeah, and your point is? But preacher, I know what they're going to do. Yeah, and your point is? What if God had reservations about you? What if somebody had reservations about you and said, well, I'm not going to give you the gospel. I don't know about you, but I want to be loved. Jesus loved the unreachable. Be here today and you think you're unreachable, unloving, or unlovable. Let me go on record by saying God loves you. And he'll save you. People may have given up on you. People may have counted you out. People may have said you're no good. You're never going to amount to anything. You have nothing to offer. You're nothing. But let me tell you, God loves you. If he can love a man possessed by a devil, my friend, he can love you. Jesus learned the unreachable. Jesus loved the unreachable. But lastly, Jesus longed for the unreachable. He longed for him. Even though Jesus knew Judas would not get saved, he longed for him to be saved. Luke 19:10 says this, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. 1 Timothy 2:4 says, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Even though Judas was not going to get saved, Jesus still longed for him to be saved. You say, preacher, how can he long for him to be saved when he knows he's not going to be saved? Well, that's a good question. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 26, just back a little bit. Preacher, how can he long for the unreachable to be saved when he knows he's not going to be saved? Matthew 26, verse 39, what you find here is Jesus praying a prayer that he knows can't be answered. What's that prayer, preacher? Matthew 26 and 39. And he went a little farther, this is Jesus, and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. What am I saying here? Jesus longed for this cup to pass, the cup of the cross to pass, but he knew it could not. In the same way, Jesus longs for every man, woman, boy, and girl to be saved, although he knows some are unreachable. It doesn't change his longing for them to be saved. Why on earth do you think he would lay his hands out? Why on earth do you think he'd have men nail him, the Son of God, God Almighty, nail him to a cross, nail his feet? Why else do you think so? Because he longs for people to be saved. My friend, he did it for you and he did it for me. He longs for people to be saved, even though he knows some are unreachable. Preacher, why'd he do it? As an example to you and I, that we don't know who is unreachable. He knows. We don't. And although Jesus longed for the cup of the cross to pass, he knew it could not. Although he knew Judas Iscariot would not get saved, he was God's creation, and he still loved him like he loves you. And he could not bear to see him go to hell. That's why he went to the cross. Because he longed for men to get saved. Jesus longed for the cup of the cross to pass, but he knew it could not. Paul, in Romans chapter 9, had a similar longing. Go to Romans chapter 9 and verse 3. Say, preacher, we know we don't turn this morning. I know we don't. But I want you to see this verse. Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9 and verse 3. And what you find here is Paul having the same longing that Christ had. Verse 1, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Notice Paul, I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Notice this, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ. For my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who's over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Amen. What did Paul say here? Paul longed to be accursed or separated from Jesus Christ for the Jews to be saved, if it could be. But guess what? It could not be. It could not be. Paul said, if I could, I'd rather be separated and go to hell myself that the Jews might be saved. What am I saying? He longed for his kinsmen. Paul said, if I could just be accursed, be separated, so that they could get the gospel, so that they could get saved, I'd do it. But it's impossible. What am I saying? Jesus loved the unreachable. Even though he knew he wouldn't get saved. Paul had the same feeling. I wish that I could be accursed, but I know I can't. Jesus said, I wish the cross would pass, but I know it can't. And he longed. He longed for Judas the same way he longed for you. But I'm not a devil. Doesn't matter. He still longed for you the same way. He still stretched out his arms for you. He still had his feet nailed for you. Along with Judas. What am I saying? He learned the unreachable. He learned what makes them the way they are. Of course, he didn't have to learn it being that he's God. But you have to learn. I have to learn. He loved the unreachable. We have to love people besides what they are, besides what they look like, besides what they do. Love them. Why? God loves you. And we need to long for them. We need to long for them. Long for them to be saved. They may be unreachable. Yes, that may be true, but it shouldn't change our longing for them to want them to be saved. But preacher, you don't know what they did to me. I don't have to know. God knows. And that's all that matters. Well, I'm not going to go to them. Pray for them. Pray that somebody will go to them. What am I saying? Paul longed to be accursed or separated for the Jews to be saved. If he could, but he knew he could not. And Jesus longed for the cup of the cross to pass, but he knew it could not. Jesus loved Judas until the end. You know, we may have to cut through some faults of people and some foolishness of people by learning them. Some by loving them. Some by longing for them, even though we think they're unreachable. Even though we think they're unreachable. I don't know about you, but somebody reached me. Let me let you guys know a secret. When my wife came to Calvary Baptist Church in Belgium, they said she'll never get saved. You know what they were saying? She's unreachable. You say, was she that bad? No, she just looked like she had it all together. Me, on the other hand, I look confused. And I was very confused. I had so many religions in my back pocket, I could have made my own religion. But somebody learned me. Somebody took 3 months with me. Somebody loved me in spite of myself, in spite of my alcohol drinking, in spite of my drug use, in spite of my cigarettes. They met with me. They talked with me. They learned me. They longed for me to get saved. They loved me, and I got saved. Why? Somebody took time for me. Hey, they may be unreachable, but don't let it be because you stopped. Let it be because they rejected the love of God. Jesus loved Judas, and he was unreachable. He longed for Judas, and he was unreachable. He learned Judas. He knew him, and he was unreachable. It was already foretold what he was going to do, but you never find Jesus treating him ill at all, even though he knew he had a devil. He said, friend, wherefore art thou come? He knew why he came, but he called him friend. having loved his own, he loved them to the end. Can we say the same thing? We may have to cut through some stuff with others. But why don't you praise God that somebody cut through some stuff for you? Somebody prayed for you. Somebody longed for you. Somebody loved you. Somebody learned you enough to give you the gospel. And we don't have a market on God's love and God's learning and God's longing, but we ought to be concerned for others. Can we be peaceable with the unreachable? Yes, we can. Jesus gives us the example right here. By the way, of Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot still did what he was going to do, and Judas Iscariot still went to the place where he was going to go, a place called hell, but it didn't stop Jesus from loving him, longing for him, and learning him. And you and I can do the same. You know, friend, if you're here today without Jesus Christ today, Jesus wants to save you. He wants you to trust him. He wants you to come to the place where you understand that he has learned you. He knows you. He wants you to come to the place where you understand he loves you. He wants you to come to the place where he's longing for you to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. He's waiting for you. We sing the song, "The Savior is waiting." Why don't you let him come in? You'll take the first step. Oh, won't you let him come in? Time after time, he's waited for you. Now he's waiting again to see if you're willing to open the door. Oh, won't you let him come in? If you're here today and you don't have Jesus Christ, would you get saved today? Experience his love. Understand his longing. And he has learned you. He knows you. Christian, if you're here today, be peaceable with the unreachable. They may not get saved in your lifetime. You may not see it. But guess what? They can still get saved. I still remember Annette's mom, Ms. Cleo, giving the gospel out. And guess what? Seeing the fruit of that now. If Cleo would only see Cecilia Betters here now, seeing Stephanie here, seeing some of the other grandkids here and the great-grandkids, you know why? They may seem unreachable, but guess what? They're not. It's not over until it's over. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, no one looking around. If you're getting baptized, you're dismissed to step out. Father, bless now in this invitation time. I pray that you would speak to hearts. Lord, help us to understand how we can be peaceable with the unreachable. We need to learn them. We need to love them. And we need to long for them. Oh God, I pray for that man, that woman, that boy or girl that's hanging in the balance right now. Maybe they've never experienced the love of God. Oh, they've got religion. Oh, they know the Ten Commandments. They know about being good. They know about turning over a new leaf. They know about doing right. But they never have been born again. I pray for that man, woman, boy, or girl today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. How many would be honest right where you're at to slip up your hand and say, "Preacher, pray for me. If I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I think I would, but I'm not confident. Would you pray for me that I can have absolute 100% confidence? Pray for me." Raise that hand. Amen. I see one hand. I see two. I see three, four, five. Amen. I see six. Amen. Thank you. You may put them down. Is there anyone else that would join these? "I'm not sure if I die right now, I would go to heaven, but I'm concerned about it. Pray for me, preacher. Pray for me." I see six hands already. Is there another? I see that one. Amen. You may put it down. We're going to have an invitation in just a moment. Let me ask you this question. If you are serious about wanting to know about whether you're going to go to heaven, why don't you meet me right down front? We have someone to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure that heaven is your home. You're a man, we'll get a man to work with you. You're a woman, we'll get a woman to work with you. But you have to make that decision. I cannot make it for you. But just raising your hand, you're not sure about heaven. And God wants you to be sure. Jesus loves you. He's longing for you. And he's learned you. He knows you. Would you let us take a Bible and show you during the invitation? All you have to do is leave from where you're at and come down. Say, "Preacher, can you show me how to be saved?" Father, bless now these that have raised their hand. Give them the courage. Give them the boldness to step forward. Lord, help them to experience the love of God like so many others have experienced it before. Lord, you don't love them any less than us. You don't love them any more either. Love of God is sufficient. Give them the boldness to come forward in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's all stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Those in baptism are stepping out. As the music begins to play, God spoke in your heart. You want to be saved. Meet me down front. I'll get someone to show you. But you've got to take the step. I can't step for you, and I can't come to you, but you can come to me. As the music plays, God spoke in your heart, you move.
The Savior,
maybe you need to pray for a loved one that you think is unreachable.
To enter your heart.
Maybe you need to pray for more love.
Why don't
to someone
you
that you need to learn. Maybe
in.
Someone that you need to long for.
There's nothing.
Maybe for someone that you need to love a little better.
To keep you.
Would you come and let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved today?
What
Christian, how about it? Maybe you need to come and pray for somebody.
To him.
Maybe you need to get a longing. Maybe you need to learn them. Maybe you need to love them. How about it, friend? Would you come and pray? Would you pray? Would you pray?
Oh, how he wants to come. If you'll take my hand, if you'll take one step toward the Savior.
If you take the first step, how about it? Oh, don't leave doubting. He's longing for you. He loves you. He's learned you. He knows you. He knows the deepest secrets in your heart. Oh, don't walk away from his love. Don't shun his love today. Say, preacher, how much does he love me? He stretched out his arms and he showed you. He loves you. He's longing for you. He's learned you. Would you like to be saved today? You can be sure. You can be sure. The Savior's waiting. He's waiting again. Hey, friend, you may not have tomorrow. You may not be here. With all the longing, with all the learning, with all the loving, Judas still walked away. Judas still went to his place. That place was called hell. Oh, friend, don't leave. God's begging and tugging at your heart. Would you let him do his business? Would you do it? Say, preacher, I don't have the confidence. I don't have the boldness. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking around. Would you let him come in? Would you let him come in? Nothing to keep you apart. What's your answer today? Time after time. Time after time. He has waited before. See if you're willing. See if you're willing to open that door. Oh, won't you let him come in? Father, thank you for your goodness. Lord, I do pray once again for these that are hanging in the balance. Lord, you love Judas until the end. Lord, you'll love them until the end. Oh, God, don't let them leave here with their minds uncertain. Give them the certainty by showing them the way of salvation through Christ. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of the same sins are death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, work in the hearts of those men, women, boys, and girls that are unsure today. Don't let them leave without getting that question answered today. Thank you for loving us. Lord, bless now the next moments of our service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.